Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Nerd! Association. Nerd! Association. Nerd! Association. Nerd! Association.
That was such uber ponage.
Hello, fellow nerds. Welcome to the Nerd Association podcast from the WBNS FM studios in Columbus, Ohio. I'm your host, Mark Finch.
And I'm your other host.
No, actually, Daniel is not with us today. He has been banished to the nether realm. So we are joined by Sean Brueger, who was with us a few months ago to talk about Universal Movie Monster. Sean, how you doing today?
I am great. I'm feeling like the poor man's Daniel.
We are all the poor man's Daniel. We all live in his shadow here on this podcast. But let's jump right into it. Sean, what do you think of when I say, get over here?
Oh, well, that's only one thing you can think of.
Right.
Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, and I would say my favorite character, and a lot of people's favorite character is from that series, Scorpion. That was always my favorite as a kid, and the get over here, just too much to get over for me. So I played the games growing up, and I'm pretty familiar with it. I kind of like the movies as a kid. I realize now they're not very good, but the new one is coming out, and it looks like a pretty high watermark compared to the original two movies. But I think we should start with the games and where we're at there. When were you first introduced to the Mortal Kombat games?
It was at some point in the early 90s. I don't know how long it had been out. From like the earliest memory I have, I think there was at least two games out by the time I was watching my older brother and his friends play it. And I think we even had like the first game on Game Boy or something like that. So
that would be correct. At least, I mean, if you remember that, it's probably correct. Cause when I was looking at it, there was some ports to Game Boy for sure.
Yeah. At least for the first game, there's so many things about games back in that early 90s era mm-hmm. where rules and things that I didn't even know about for some of those platforms. But yeah, I remember playing it on Game Boy. I remember I also had a Sega Genesis growing up, and so we played it on that. And usually when I say we, I mean I watched my older brother play it, and then when I was able to have a turn, or if I wanted to get, you know, lose and get my ass handed to me, I would join in as the second player. But I think we even played the arcade. I remember Mortal Kombat 3 was specifically.
Yeah. Yeah, the arcade is where where it cut its teeth and became popular from there, and then it went into the home versions. And one big thing about Mortal Kombat when it first came out is it was one of those games that was like one of the original times people were so up in arms about video game violence and things like that. And it actually was a huge factor into the creating of the ESRB, which has all the ratings now for games from everyone all the way to mature and, you know, whatever in between and stuff like that. And all Mortal Kombat games, I'm pretty sure, I don't know if they've tried to dumb down any to teen. I'm pretty sure they're all mature. But those original ones that went from the arcade onto like the Genesis and stuff, I think, if I remember correctly, they cut out like some of the blood splatters and stuff like that. So the arcade version was more violent than the at-home versions, but they have since corrected that, and the Mortal Kombat games are pretty much as violent as they come.
Oh, absolutely. They're 10 times more violent than they used to be. And I think even on those home console versions, they even had the option like where you could go in and turn blood off, or, you know, dumb down the gore. But I recall my parents being the ones that were no to that game. Of course, they sort of also just went off of what other people were saying. I don't think they actually got into the subject matter to see for themselves. Mm-hmm. But yes, Mortal Kombat was a no, and
which just made you want to play it more, for sure.
Absolutely. especially when your friends have it, and that, and you know, The Simpsons, but standards on those things are nothing.
The interesting thing about Mortal Kombat to me is that it draws up so much less controversy than, you know, as the years went on, and it just got so much worse as far as the violence goes, which is, I mean, if you like that kind of stuff and it's entertaining to you, it's top notch with the fatalities and everything mixed in. So yeah, moving on from the little pixelated sprites, which was kind of their step up from like the Street Fighter games and everything, was, you know, they had the Street Fighter had like the 2D drawn animations that would fight each other, and then they actually took like actors and kind of had them, you know, do all the moves, and then they imported that into the game. Then eventually it moved up into the 3D sphere with PlayStation and PlayStation 2 and so on. So that's where I wanted to go next, was talking about like when they went to that next level, when they brought it onto PlayStation 2, Xbox, that kind of stuff, that's when they really started to go over the top with these fatalities. And if you could get to the end of a match and you were winning, and they threw out the finish him, and you got to do whatever button combination it was or whatever you had to do, they were very creative and very bloody.
Yeah. And they, going back to the, like you mentioned, Street Fighter, being a sort of a predecessor in the fighting games, and Mortal Kombat was a lot of firsts. Like they were the first with the gore. They were the first with, if I'm remembering correctly, they were the first with sort of the button combinations. Okay. 'Cause before it was some sort of fighting system. I don't even remember the key combinations on Street Fighter, but they implemented that. They did a lot with the secret hidden like Easter eggs. Here's in which with pre-internet or early internet days was sort of the rumor mill spreading, and everybody gaining hype from that, I think, was sort of a ingenious, whether they intended or not, marketing hidden characters.
Yeah.
If you look closely on this map, there you might see somebody peeking out from a tree or something like that. And then they would eventually, it was usually the ninjas. The ninjas were the popular characters that they eventually snuck in there, just color palette change.
And that was the big thing, is they just changed the color of all of them, and then they eventually added, you know, more of the female ninjas too. And yeah, it was basically the exact same sprite. They you know, they might have changed up some of the moves, but yeah, it was mostly just a color palette change, new character.
Right. And you and mentioning the, you know, those the fatalities back in the before PlayStation 2, I couldn't tell you how frustrating it was to get to the end of a board, and like you feel that panic of, I've only got so much time to hit this right, and then you don't do it.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, I just punched him in the face.
What was the point of this whole fight if I don't get into the fatality? So I mentioned Scorpion. Who's your favorite character to play with?
Oh, I think back in the older in those games, it was It was Reptile. It was one between Reptile or Sub-Zero. But I feel like it must have been easier to master the Reptile moves for me.
Thinking about the games, you know, I wasn't somebody who bought every Mortal Kombat, but I had some of the original ones on the Genesis. I played on the PSP, I played what was Mortal Kombat Deception, but it was technically called Unchained on the PSP because, it's wireless, so it's Unchained. They got really creative with that one. And that one was interesting because it implemented like a better story mode where you actually like ran around a 3D world and like went to various places to start the fight. So I actually really enjoyed that one. And then I know they've gotten, the graphics have really stepped up with like Mortal Kombat X 10 and so on and so forth. Have you played X?
I didn't play X. I recently had played 11.
Okay.
And it's more of a storyline behind it. So like, not to where if you do the storyline, you don't like necessarily choose your characters. So you get to become somewhat familiar with more people as you play through the story and fight with who's designated to fight in that setting or that level. Which was kind of nice because there could be somebody in there that you wouldn't even think about, but maybe it was just the move selection or whatever just felt easier to control. And then you can obviously, they do online and all that.
I'm wondering too, like if have fighting games like gone out of style because they're so repetitive? They sort of remind me of sport video games where like, yeah, the graphics get a little better and they can add some more functionality, but it's the same teams, it's the same players every year, so you probably only need to buy every third or fifth one or something like that. Because why buy Madden every year? Why buy the next Mortal Kombat when you just have the one from 2 years ago that has basically all the same characters and the same storyline?
Right. So how do you in or pull them back in? You gotta, maybe that's the point with their the storyline in this newer game. Continue the story, you'll get at least some of those people. Or they with a game like this, they the character list is so massive and they don't, you don't have everybody. So, or like who was it? Well, so Reptile's not in that 11, but you can get, you can, if you do some of the like other tasks and things that they have in the game, you can unlock a sort of a scorpion that looks like Reptile, but it's still all Scorpion's moves. Okay. But like next game, let's add them. Maybe they add them in and they just change up the roster. And
that reminds me of like greatest hits albums where they don't put they don't put all the obvious ones on there. They leave one or two off. Then they release another one a few years later that has those two, but it doesn't have two that was on the other one. And so you have to kind of buy both. If you really want the full experience of this band, which in this case is Mortal Kombat and all its characters, which as I was researching this, I did not realize how many like pointless random characters they have. You mentioned Reptile, Scorpion, Sub-Zero. There's Jax, Sonya, Liu Kang, Raiden, those kind of, like all the, you know, those are like the mainstays. But then as you go on, especially as they like did that palette changing stuff, they just added so many characters throughout the years that to put all of them in one game would probably be too much anyways.
Right. They and I think the original game had what, 10 people, 10 to play with, something like that. And like ninja characters alone, there's I think 10 or 11 because there's so many different.
Yeah,
it's easy, less or cost effective to already have and change the color.
Simple.
And I think
throw
some
it
of those
in
were
there.
Some of those were even. I'm thinking of one of them specifically. His name, the character's name is Rain. He was in Mortal Kombat 3 or like one of those hidden characters that got popular and they eventually added him in some iteration of it. And he was a joke between the creators because they made him purple and his name was Rain. Those were his powers, and he the one of the creators was a big Prince fan.
Okay. So. That's a good one. Yeah. That is another thing I stumbled upon with research is like, yeah, there are Easter eggs in this and unlockable characters, but sometimes, and this is true with other video games too. And if you probably look at any video games fan Wikipedia or the real Wikipedia page, you'll find this, but it's like in jokes among the developers. Like there was something
right. There
where they used to like, one of the sound developers like put in a soundbite that was like toasty, and it would like play when you did a certain move or when you got a certain combo or something like that. And then they eventually had it in there, and it, in a subsequent game, when they made the jump to like 3D platforms, they there would be like a hit like that, and then I think it was the Raiden voice character would go like toasty in 3D.
They certainly seem to have a lot of fun making these games.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because it's probably a lot of work, but it's also like really straightforward creating a fighting game, I'm sure. Like, you know, you have to do the work to soup it up to the next level of consoles and stuff like that. But for the most part, once you get that down, it's probably a lot of clerical work. So you probably get really bored, you know, just fixing little bugs and everything. And you just want to add in
right. Whatever
you can. It does sound like fun. It's one of those jobs that probably sounds like way more fun than it is. Like video game developer, video game tester is also another one that probably sounds way more fun than it is.
Right. Well, not for EA, it's from what I've heard. But it sounds like a good gig for sure. I don't know how well they're treated though by their companies. But
well, yeah, it's the same thing as like the digital effects artists for movies. Like there's just like 1,000 of them on every movie, and they just like work them to the bone, and they make everything work, and they make the movies, and they, in this case, they make the video games, and they don't get the appreciation they deserve.
Absolutely.
Talking one more thing on the games, I said looking at the Wikipedia, this was about the fatalities, and I thought this quote was really good. The basic fatalities are finishing moves that allow the victorious characters to end a match in a special way by murdering their defeated, defenseless opponents in a gruesome manner, usually in the predefined ways exclusive for the given character. And that's just one of those instances where it's like, yeah, that's correct. That is what happens, but it's just so weird to see it in plain writing on a Wikipedia page.
And that's as gruesome as that sounds, I think, as you mentioned, once they move to those next gen platforms, that's probably an understatement, nicely written of
right.
what it does.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's more brutal than probably most movies you'd ever see. Now it's, you know, it's video games, so it's technically kind of cartoon violence, but they do their best to make it look realistic. I mean, it's probably not quite as gory like as a turnout, you know what I mean? Like it's not like fully like spilling out guts and stuff like that, but it's plenty bloody, and there's a lot of like skeleton and spinal cord stuff involved.
Yeah, well, the newer games are pretty gut spilling, and yeah, there's some pretty graphic gory content there, but
yeah. So if your kid wants to play a fighting game, stick with Super Smash Bros. For a little bit. Mortal Kombat, not quite up there for the kids, and that's right. Why it has an M rating. I remember this when I was probably only like 10 years old, but I was in a video game store, and this kid picked up a game. I don't think it was Mortal Kombat, but it was a game that had an M rating, and he just liked the cover, and he was like, "Dad, can I get this?" And the dad had no idea what was going on, and he brought it over to me, just a slightly older kid, and he was like, "Hey, would this be a game that my, you know, 6-year-old son could play?" And I had to explain it. I was like, well, the M there stands for mature, which is like an R rating for a video game. So no. And I guess that's a good thing. So I prevented that 6-year-old from playing a game that was way out of his league. And as we said at the beginning, the reason that those ratings exist is partly thanks, right. I guess, to Mortal Kombat.
Right, right. Or you sent that kid down the path of wanting it more.
Yeah, and he just searched everywhere for it until he found it at age 7, and then it's all downhill from there.
Right.
So the series becomes super popular in the 90s. It starts on the arcade, goes to home, and they have, I think, the third one out by the time this rolls around. You get the movies, at least the second one was out for sure. And you get the original movies made in the 90s. And this was interesting too, is the original idea was to have this game be inspired by Jean-Claude Van Damme, you know, action hero and everything. And that's where kind of the, as it went on, they couldn't get that licensing worked out, but that's kind of why the character Johnny Cage exists. He's an actor, JC, Jean-Claude, Johnny Cage. So you kind of get that connective tissue right there with the movies, because they really play up the Johnny Cage character in the first movie with that being an actor and everything like that.
Right. And that's interesting, because what video game movie was Jean-Claude Van Damme in?
Street Fighter. You're right. Oh, man. I didn't connect that until you phrased the question that way, but you're right. It reminds me too of I had somebody once say to me that you're either a Street Fighter person or you're a Mortal Kombat person. He's like, and it's the same way that you were either a Munsters person or an Addams Family person. And I said, that's odd to me, just like as far as connection between movies and stuff, because Raul Julia, RIP, he was Gomez Addams in the Addams Family movies, and then he was also in the Street Fighter movie. So I don't know. When somebody said that to me, that was just another connection I made. So there you go.
It comes full circle.
The 90s movies, they're not good. The first one's okay. I'll give the first one a slight pass. The second one is like total B-movie territory and like going for CGI that they couldn't even attempt. We'll start with the first one. They do a pretty good job, I think, of laying out the story for people who don't follow the Mortal Kombat story, which I guess is the one thing you need to do in the first movie in a series. And, you know, I think the stakes are known. They go and Raiden shows up and he's like, oh, the guy's going to come and he's going to enter Earthrealm if we don't go and win this tournament, and it's fighting to the death. And they get the band of people from Earth together and they have to go fight in Mortal Kombat. And the fighting scenes are okay, but the biggest problem with it, PG-13 rating. None of the violence and gore and fatalities that we've been talking about that were present in the video games, really none of that at all in the movie.
And I think you're right. I agree with that first movie is okay. It's got, but it, for a...
It's good enough that like if it showed up on TNT while I'm flipping the channels, I might watch for a little bit.
Yeah, right, right. And I think they set up the good storyline of what the games sort of followed. To some extent, pretty well. And then I felt like it sort of fell apart a little bit as it got towards the end, like they were just sort of rushing to.
It seems like a storyline that would like almost lend itself better to like a series, which with streaming out, like that would actually probably be perfect to like have like, you know, because then you could play up matches and next week on Mortal Kombat.
That's a good thought.
It's something like, yeah. Instead, they go with the movie route, and it's okay. It's the CGI, though, is really where you're let down in these ones. You were talking about Reptile being one of your favorite characters. Yeah. And in that first one, it looks like a PlayStation 1 cutscene whenever they put Reptile on the screen. It's bad.
And at least they, for the most part, they did the good thing of... our limited CG, we're going to at least keep in like dark, like the scenes are going to be darker. The first one. Yes. Yes. Oh yeah. Not gotten to the second one yet. Yes, they did that well in the first one. I would just say overall special effects probably were not their strong suit. I don't know what else you could compare it to though, in what, 94? That would have, I guess Jurassic Park was 93 and it had pretty good, decent effects.
What, Steven Spielberg didn't direct the first Mortal Kombat movie? What's up with that?
I don't know why. That was...
you know who did direct it? I found this out today when looking into it. Paul W.S. Anderson. So we can thank the Mortal Kombat video game, really, for giving us all the Resident Evil movies. Because he directed Mortal Kombat, and then he went on to direct, I don't know, what are there, 8 Resident Evil movies? And they didn't fall off a cliff quite as quickly, but like it's like law of diminishing returns with the Resident Evil movies. As they kept making them, they kept getting worse. Mortal Kombat only needed two movies to get to that point, but Paul W. S. Anderson involved in both of those series.
I did not know that. Did any of those Resident, not to get off track, but did any of those Resident Evil movies, were they even close to what the game?
I would say, see, they always tried to like, incorporate a villain from the game into each movie. So they got that going a little bit, but the first two, maybe you could say, are close. They changed it a lot, but like, it's at least like you start in the house and you, in the first one, you start in the house, you go underground, they fight zombies in Umbrella Corp. And then the second one, it got out of control. Now you're fighting them in Raccoon City. Then after that, it kind of took its own life.
Okay. Yeah. I feel like I watched the first one and was like, oh, this isn't really what I was thinking.
Well, and then he's married to Mila Jovovich. So, like, as they went on, she just became the central character. And, like, I don't even, is Alice even a character in the Resident Evils, or she's not, like, a mainstay in every game?
Yeah, I don't know. I remember the first game, you could choose between two people maybe at the beginning, and I don't know what the female cop's name was.
Yeah, and then I think the second one is the Leon character, and he's also the main character in Resident Evil 4. I don't know, I haven't played them enough to know that for sure. I do know Leon is Resident Evil 4. I know that one for sure. Moving on to the second Mortal Kombat movie, and we've kind of already said it, there's not too much to say, but it's just like total fall off sequel stuff, changing of actors, probably not as much money behind it. At least I don't know that for sure. I could probably look it up, but it looks like it's cheaper. And
you know what this one reminded me of? I watched a little bit of it recently. And it reminded me of, what was the show? Xena and Hercules, Kevin Sorbo, Lucy Lawless shows.
Yes. Okay.
It seemed like it had the same budget and the same, I would say maybe even the same choreograph, fight people.
Mm-hmm. But the ambition to put in these giant animality traits in the games, and oh man, when they turn into like I think it's Liu Kang turns into like this like dragon type creature, and it's just terrible. And like you said, they didn't really shroud it very much in this one. So you're just seeing it, and that one is, it's not like one character. It's literally like watching cutscenes from mid 90s video games at certain points.
Mm-hmm. And then the whole actor change sort of, I know that doesn't have too big of effect on it, but it can sort of take you out of the story a little bit, 'cause you're not sort of continuing on from the last one.
It's one of those movies, it's kind of like a victim of, the first one wasn't like a huge success, but it was enough of a success to get a sequel. And again, they stick with PG-13, so it doesn't get really the hardcore Mortal Kombat fans. That's probably like what they should have figured out, is that like, yeah, the first one was good because people probably didn't know exactly what they were getting into. But then you make just an okay Mortal Kombat movie that is definitely not what real Mortal Kombat fans of the video games are looking for, so they're probably not coming back for the second one. And then you just make an even worse movie in the second one. Yeah, that writing was on the wall, that clearly this one wasn't going to be any good.
What's the thought on that from a movie studio standpoint? Are you dumbing down the violence to get that lower rating to I mean, I know they couldn't equate at that time, they probably couldn't equate the violence well enough, but yeah. You dumbing it down to get a broader audience for like kids?
Yeah, who aren't even supposed to be playing. If we're listening to the rating of the game, the kids aren't. I mean, we know they were. We both talked about how we played them, but technically they weren't supposed to be playing the game. So why wouldn't you make a game that is geared towards, you know, technically, you know, 17 and up audience, adult audiences? Why wouldn't you gear the movie adaptation towards that group?
Good question.
Yeah, well, at least they're finally doing it with the new one. And that's what brings us to this whole discussion today. Is a new Mortal Kombat movie is coming out. We're recording this here in the middle of the week, but it'll be less than 2 weeks from now, about 10 days, 9 days from now. Actually, it's the 14th, and it's coming out Friday the 23rd. And I'm excited for it enough. Like, Mortal Kombat's not my favorite entity, but when you see the preview, it looks like they're going to do a very good job of correcting the blatant mistakes of the 90s movies.
And I think they, from what I've seen in the previews, I mean, and read in interviews with like the director, it sounds like they are sort of, we're in this era of making these making like, you know, superheroes in a sort of dark, sounds like they were taking advantage of that and also trying to develop some sort of narrative throughout the movie to not just be a fighting movie, but at the same time they're also amping up the fighting, so taking extra care into the properties of the game, I guess.
Yeah, and it's interesting that you bring that up, because that's what I was thinking is, you know, the 90s movies, it's hard to sell people on this, like, death tournament, all these realms and stuff like that, especially in a movie. Like I said, a TV show might actually work a little better where you have more time to bring up this stuff, because to, like, quickly, like, first act introduce what's going on in Mortal Kombat is probably pretty difficult. So I hope they do a better job of that, of making it. It doesn't have to be realistic, but it has to be, like, just believable enough that I can, like, through my suspension of disbelief, I can get past that, like, this exists. That's fine. But you need to give me just a little bit more and a little bit more grounded for me to, like, actually take stock in these players and be worried about them as they go through this fighting, and be worried about Earth. Is it going to be attacked by this person? And the superhero movies have done that really well in the last decade or so. So you're right. Hopefully, jumping off of that, they can bring that back in for this movie coming out later this month.
Right. And it sounds like they're actually introducing a new character in the movie, which makes sense from the explanation that I had read. Introducing a new character, not to step on any of the toes of the fans, but they figured out of however 11 games now, how many new characters have been introduced, we think it's okay. And then, like, also to retell the story better, and for an audience even that maybe hadn't played the games, doesn't know the story, they can tell it through the eyes of the new character. So we are the new character experiencing everything, all the information at the same time. And I think that's a smart way of doing it.
Yeah. It gives you that protagonist in, like, an adventure or fantasy type movie that you can imprint yourself on, which is a super common storytelling trope, but it works. And it especially works for movies. That's why, like, a lot of times when things are adapted, like, maybe that character isn't always, like, the main person, but they always make it the main person in a movie, because that's the easiest time to do that. It also, in books as well, it works that way. In a video game, because you get to inhabit the character, that's probably the hard part, too, is finding that character. Because in a video game, you don't need the, like, everyman kind of blank slate character to jump onto, because I can just select Scorpion, so I don't really need to imagine myself a Scorpion. I'm just actually controlling him, so I don't need, like, that extra that help that he has nothing to him, because I'm already the one who's controlling him. I'm there in a video game, but in a movie you can't do that. I'm not going to see myself as Scorpion because I'm not the one with the controller in my hand, and he's an outlandish character that I don't, you know, easily put myself into his shoes.
You don't have Scorpion ninja shoes at home?
You're right. I'm the one person without some Mortal Kombat fan I am. And no, I cannot shoot the little, like, snake ropes or whatever. I guess they're scorpion stingers. Is that what they're supposed to be? That he shoots out of his hands and pulls people over. So the highlight's going to be, for a lot of people, I think, Scorpion and Sub-Zero fighting. They're the two most famous ninja characters, and they were okay in the first one. I don't think Scorpion's even in Annihilation from the...
He is. I think so.
He is. Sub-Zero.
They fight him for like 2 seconds.
Okay.
And Sub-Zero, the second Sub-Zero comes in and I think helps. But yeah, they fight him for 2 seconds. I will say what I didn't like about the 90s, that character in those movies was his the, and it's got a name, but I can't think of it. The weapon that is like the rope on tied to the dart or whatever it is. Because they made it like part of him, in that like they were alive almost, like the tentacles that Dr. Octopus had in that second Spider-Man Tobey Maguire movie. In the previews that we've seen for this new movie, not only is the actor who's playing a bigger, well-known actor, I don't remember his name, or I couldn't recall his name, but I know I've seen him in a lot of stuff. And it looks like he's using that weapon. And it sort of, like you said, I think you mentioned earlier, it sort of grounds it a little bit more, makes it more substantial, more believable.
Yeah. And I can't off the top of my head, like, you know, remember who played all those, like the Sub-Zero and Scorpion characters in the 90s movies, but
we never see their faces.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying. It's cool that in this one, you can tell that it's actual Asian actors playing these ninja characters, which is like the way it should be. So that's good. I'm happy for that in this new Mortal Kombat movie.
Yeah, yeah.
The thing about the violence, and this is a quote from director Simon McQuoid. He's talking kind of about how they might have to tone it down a little bit. So I don't know where to stand, but here's what he had to say. He said, it was something that took up a fair amount of brain power amongst us because we didn't want to underdo it and we didn't want to overdo it. So overdoing it means... ... when certain things in the game, if you tried to make a real version of that, the film would be unreleasable. That's just the fact of it. But we knew we wanted to get up to the line and not cross it, and that was really the discussions were about that, says the director, Simon McQuoid. So it sounds like what we said, that yeah, it's probably a little too much to put on the screen, but as long as you're gonna throw in the blood and throw in somebody saying finish him and some sort of fatality finisher type move, I think people will be happy. And your appetite for that kind of violence probably won't be as high when it's, you know, it's still gonna be like CGI and special effects, but it's still like real people, and it's a little harder to stomach that sometimes.
I also saw there was some magazine that got to do an interview on the walkthrough set with the director. And so what they mentioned in their article, a lot of the stuff was like, here's what we saw on set, you know, trying to give some sort of insight to anything that we didn't already know. And they did mention that they were there for one of the filming of a fight, one of the days they filmed a fight scene, and the, offset was just bare, like drums of blood, fake blood.
So they've got the supplies for some true stacked up and
yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm looking forward to it. It comes out on the 23rd here in April. It'll be on HBO Max. It's another one of those. We keep talking about these HBO Max ones. People were so down on that idea, especially like people in the movie industry, but I think it's been a home run for HBO Max. Their movie releases have been the ones I've been paying attention to, and I've been watching just about every single one of them. So I think this idea, that this hybrid model of theaters and streaming dropping the same day, it may not work for the current model of theaters and everything, and certain people who want their movies to always be on big screen may not like it, but it's working for Warner Brothers and HBO Max, so I think they're going to stick with it, or at least some form of it.
Absolutely. You'll never be able to replace or do away with the theater experience. But with everything that's happened, you know, theaters needed to sort of adapt and figure out what to do.
And they kind of refused to.
Yeah. Yeah, they did. Who was it? Cause what was the first movie? There's a movie that did that right off the bat.
Trolls World Tour.
Yeah. That was the one. Yeah. They got all kinds of backlash from the theaters.
It was like AMC was said, we'll never show another Universal movie again. And it was like, really?
Yes.
Like, one of the three biggest producers of movies? I don't think that's good for your business model. And then they eventually came to some sort of agreement with it. But yeah, movie theaters, like, and it wasn't just the pandemic, kind of like was a catalyst to get us a little further along with that, but it'd been going on for years that like the at-home experience just keeps getting better and better. And the movie theater experience, okay, they added like lounge chairs a little more, but it's not getting that much better. And yeah, the scale is gonna tip to most people wanting to stay at home, and it's, you know, not, it's just so much easier than going out to the theater and paying $8 for a popcorn,
right? $20 for the overall ticket, popcorn, drink,
yeah, per person, when you could just bring everybody over, and for $30 you get the movie for $20, and then you snacks and whatever, and now you've got six people watching it.
Yeah, it didn't, I don't think they did themselves a good service by going against the grain on that, especially when your business is already hurt, like your business is already not in a good state because of current events. Mm-hmm. Completely cutting yourself off or disowning one of the major studios in Hollywood's not going to help going forward.
And so now Warner Brothers, I think, is going to get to the point where they like the model they're in right now. So we'll see. Maybe a fatality blow for the movie theaters. There we go. Circle it back.
Well said.
All right. Sean, thanks for joining us on Nerd Association today. Is there anything you do creatively that you'd like to plug on here for anybody to check out, or are you just a fan?
No, I'm just a fan. No, I think that's it. All right. I promote Halloween. I'm going to go back to Halloween. Okay. I promote Halloween. It's a great time to build stuff, make your yard look crazy, or just like do no maintenance on your yard at all so it looks spooky. Halloween.
There you go. Sean Brueger, big Halloween guy, and telling you to celebrate Halloween and make sure you get all that. And you could be just like Sean. If you have an idea of something to talk about that you want to hear Daniel and I talk about on Nerd Association, just send us a tweet, send us an email. You can find us on Twitter at Nerd Associ. That's at NERD_ASSOC. You can also email us nerdassoc@gmail.com. And also tweet in who's your favorite Mortal Kombat character, and you know, who did you play with as a kid? Has that changed? Anything you want to say about Mortal Kombat, but especially whoever your favorite character is. Daniel should be back next week here on Nerd Association. Again, a big thanks to Sean Brueger.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening.